And I will share my screen. I will try to share my screen. Hold on, my computer's coming up on me here.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, it said it started recording. So now I need to share. And I'm gonna change this around. I see it's a little bit better to do for loops before conditional. So I've changed these two around. Open up your Python workshop. I got for loops here started. And today is Tuesday, October 27th, and we're gonna talk about for loops. And we really wanna understand how can we make a program do many things. So loops, so you loop and loop, and every time through the loop, you do one different thing. Wanna explain what they normally use for. You need to kind of trace the execution of what we call a simple loop, which would be an unnested loop, not a loop within a loop. And know what the values are during each iteration. Each time through the loop is an iteration. And then use the loop to accumulate a pattern to aggregate values. So we start by executing command every time through this loop. So I'll show you a simple for loop here. So for number in 2, 3, 5, colon, print num. And you notice when I hit the return key there, it popped over and indented four spaces. So Python is great for indenting stuff. Some languages don't force you to indent, but I can't read the program without the indentions for the loops. It's kind of like trying to read a sentence without any spaces. So when they first started writing, they didn't use sentences and they didn't use periods, or they didn't use spaces between words and they didn't use periods. So everything ran together and you kind of had to figure out where the words ended and the next word began. So you need to indent everything. And so this is a simple loop. Foretells Python to execute some statement, once for each value in a list, a character, string, or some other correction. So, we got these larger things that corrections are more than just lists. But basically, the list 2, 3, 5 is what we do on this one. So it does some operations. So we're gonna print the number. So you can see first time through the number is 2, then it's 3, and then it's 5. So the element in 2 goes into number, and then that's printed. And the next time through, 3 goes into that. So it's equivalent of saying print 2, print 3, print 5. But that would take 3 lines, and we did it only twice. And of course you can have a for loop 3 times or 3,000 or 3 million times. So a for loop is made up of a collection, a loop variable, and a body. The correction in this case is the list 2, 3, and 5. The body is the print number, and the loop variable is number. So this is what's being looped on. Basically the current thing, the current one through the loop. So for loops are synonymous with all types of programming languages. The colon tells you to start the next end of the first line and start the block of statements, so the body. I mentioned about the indentions of for here. Legally in Python, you can have 2 spaces or other ones, but please just use for. It's a standard one, and it's spaces, not tabs. Tab key should be like removed from the keyboard. It's kind of like the cap locks key. People should make fun of it. So if you try to do something like for number in 2, 3, 5, and then you went back. Want to do that. And then you just went and, I got to put my colon in here. And then if I pop down to the next line and I try to print number, this will give you an error because it expects that after the colon and the for loop that you indent. So these indentions are all meaningful in Python. So everything is there and it's very much so. Micro variable loops are created on demand. And so you want to use meaningful numbers. So use something like number instead of kitten to represent 2, 3, and 5. We have only one statement, but a loop can have many statements in the body. But you know, try to keep it relatively short. It gets more confusing when you have longer loops. But some code you end up putting a lot of stuff inside a loop, but it's best to keep it as short as possible. Okay, let's do some other print in here. So everybody got that. I got my Zoom window up. Everybody's here. Everybody's good with that. Any questions?
No, I think I'm good with that. Or with the for loops?
Huh?
I said I think I'm good with for loops.
Got the concept down. We're all set. So let's do, and I'm going to not do print. Primes equals 2, 3, 5. And then we're going to do 4p in primes. Let's q u squared that. So we're going to use p, and then it's 2 stars to get the square. Let's do cubed equals p times 3 raised to the third power, and then print p squared cubed, right? So we can indent all of them. Values. So that's all set up and we have everything in there to work. But you can see that the P is a sign and then we can use that in our calculations. There's a very useful function called range that we can use to give us a longer one instead of having 2, 3, and 5, we can give it a range. But the range is not exactly the same as a list. So a range is not a list, range 0, 3, and for number in range 0, 3. Oops, I forgot my colon. If it doesn't indent, you forgot the colon. So again, it's 2, 3, and 5. Okay, so everybody got that? Any questions? No hands. So let's accumulate a pattern that turns many values into one. A kind of pattern in program is to initialize the accumulated value to 0, the empty string or an empty list. So before a loop, initialization is what you do before you start really using it. So that's typically what's done before a loop. You initialize it. sum the first 10 integers. So total equals 0. Just initialize it. And it's always a good idea to do that, even if it's something that's really not necessary. Total, it makes sure that we know what it is and good programming. So let's go number one, plus one. Okay, so we have that. And then it pops over, but I'm going to start and go back and end my loop, and then I'm going to print the total at the end of the loop. And what did I do wrong here? Total. So I didn't have total defined. So you have to define it because I'm adding to it. So if you don't define it, initialize it at the beginning, you can't say total equals total, because you really want to add something to it. So that's why the initialization is important. So everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here. So questions, yes or no? The question is, an odd sheet here, is the indention error a syntax error or a runtime error? So syntax error, if you want everybody, try to get people in here, say yes for syntax error and no for runtime. Give me a yes or a no. Is an index error a syntax error? Yes or no? If it's no, then it would be a runtime error. See if people are here and paying attention. Okay, green is yes. Is anybody else paying attention here? I guess you can see it. Can you see everybody's? I think so, huh? In the list. But you don't have to agree with that. Since Lucas, you want to tell us why it's a syntax error?
Wouldn't it technically be a syntax error because it's something that's like you inputted value wrong, but pretty much it's just you messed up how, oh man, it's kind of hard to explain. Just you messed up kind of the order of the code of how it's supposed to be executed.
Yeah, it's what you write for the code. It's the how you're writing it. But one way to tell is that the syntax errors mean the program can't run. Runtime errors mean that it runs, it starts. It's like typing gibberish. People don't understand it. So it's like speaking a different language. So, est-ce que vous parlez anglais? Maybe Mara knows that, but if you start talking French or something, you know, the computer won't understand it if they only understand English and stuff. So, you don't know which language you're talking. So that's the syntax. Let's try to do some tracing. So we're gonna do total equals 0 for char in TIN colon, and then total equals total plus 1. TOTAL plus 1. Okay, and so, hold on, char in 10, total equals total plus 1. So what would total character be when you go through this loop? So the first time through the loop, what would total equal and what would tin, what would care each equal? And Lucas is talking, so you want to try to give me an idea. What's the first time through, what would total be?
Wouldn't total just be equal to one?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Are you after this line or before it? So, you know, you can kind of go through these lines. So totally equals zero on line one, total remains zero on line two. On line three, it would become one. And of course, at the beginning, character is not defined. On the first line, what would character be? CHR on this second line right here.
Wouldn't be character be defined as 10?
Yeah, but it's not the whole, it's in this string. So what character does is comes and takes each letter in that list. So if you want, I can print total and care. Okay, so you can just try it, but it's going to get TIN through that list. So it goes through three times because it goes through each one of the letters in the string. So we want to print out complete. So we print NIT. Okay, so that's what we want to do. And so there's two blank lines here. So what goes in both of these lines? And I got to give it to you. So what's equal to results? So maybe you can text that to me. So send me a text with what you think are in the two result lines are supposed to be. Remember, it's a classical for loop. Okay. So both lines is the first line and then this line here. What would both of the lines be? Okay, maybe I'm missing it. What we want to know is what's in this line. So the first time you use result, but I'm still right, we want to initialize it with an empty string. So it's two double quotes. And then four character in an original, and then you want to say result equals, and then we're going to use that result again and add to it. And in this case, we're going to use character plus result. And then we'll print, because we want it to be outputted as NIT. Is this going to work? Yeah. So the first time through, it's T, and that's the difference. If you do character plus results or results plus character, you would get it backwards. What a bit of a trick there. Thumbs up, we can go on. Everybody give me a thumbs up, yes. Give me the thumbs up here. So here's another one that we haven't done before. This time I'll give you the whole code, and you just have to reorder it. So we should get a result of 1, 3, 5, 10. Okay. And this is the code. And what I want you to do is I want you to reorder it. Put these lines of code in the right order so that this should be the output. So the print state, you know, this should be what's outputted, is the 2, 3, 5, the 1, 3, 5, and 10. So what lines of code? Maybe try to work on that here a little bit. And see if you can get that to output. Okay. want some help? I have an idea. How's it going, Lucas?
It's going all right. Struggling a little bit with this one.
So we can kind of cheat. The print humorator got to be at the end, right? We want to initialize stuff at the beginning. So what are we going to initialize? What are the initialization lines? Probably like sum equals zero. That looks like an initialization. Cumulative equals empty list. So we can put them in. And then data equals 2, 1, 2, 2, 5. And then we need a for loop for num and data, because we're going to list through that line of data. And then what's left? Sum, and then plus equals num and cumulative append. So. And that gives you the 1, 3, 5, and 10 to go through that. So do things, does that make sense? Any questions?
Just that last portion where you talked about cumulative dot append sum.
Yes, so we're going to append, and then sum is the number. So append means we're going to add it to the end. So sum equals plus num. So number is 1. So the first time through, sum would be 1, and then we're just going to append that to this empty list. So that's why you got to define the list first. So it's 1. And then the second time through, it's going to be num is going to be 2. So we're going to sum that to the original 1. So that's 3. And the append is this keeps appending it to the list. And there's 4 times through because you got 4 in the correction data that we're looping over into the number variable.
Okay.
So think about it. Okay, I'm going to try to be quick today, finish a little early, but I'll give you a few key points and then I'll leave you with an exercise. The for loop execute a command once for every for each value in the correction. So in the previous one, data is a correction. A for loop is made up of correction, a loop variable, which was number in the previous one, and a body. So that's the 2 indented lines. The body is the indention thing. The first line of a for loop must end in a colon, and then it automatically indents. Loop variables being called anything, but please use meaningful variables. You can have many statements in the loop, but makes it hard to read if there's too many. You can use range iterate over a sequence of numbers. And you know, you have this basic pattern where you're accumulating, you're doing something, initialize it at the beginning, and then you accumulate through the loop. And you always kind of start out this way. You can have multiple things that you set at the beginning, and then you want to do something with it at the end. You want to have the result after the loop, typically. Okay. Any questions? That's kind of the summary. I will leave you with the with an assignment here. Maybe next time you can try to work on this. and stuff. So we copy it down. Create an acronym using the correction here, which is this a list, red, green, and blue. And we want the output to be RGB. So we want to do a list. And every time to the list, you come up with the RGB. So think of it, you know, there's three things that are going to be in there. Your loop's going to go run three times over it, and you get RGB, R the first time, G the second, and B the third, and print that out. So why don't you work on that? And if you all got that, kind of got the basic concept, and see if you can make a list and initialize it, make a loop, and then print out, and you should get RGB as the output. And if you don't remember some of the commands, you can always Google if you forgot how to do something with the string. And we could talk about that on Thursday. So I got a couple chats there. Thanks, Lance, for your chat and everything. So a few minutes early here today, but I'll leave you with that for the last 10 minutes here, and you can try to figure that out, and we'll meet up and talk about if statements on Thursday. So with that, I'll stop sharing. Assume you got that. And stop the recording.